Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Let's Talk About from Style Canada. And let me tell you, we're talking. Let's face it, we talk a lot. We talk about things we love, hot topics, and anything in between. But what about the things we don't talk about? What about the things we want to know but don't know how to ask? Don't worry, we've got you covered. Let's expand our horizons. Let's talk about it. Hi, everyone, and welcome. This week, we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, friendships. So we're continuing our series on emotional intelligence with emotional intelligence coach Sarah Joseph. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. I'm excited for our topic today.
I know. Me too. I feel like this is, friendships, you know, when you think of dating and relationships, which is something we just talked about in the previous episode, dating is something that kind of happens, you know, maybe more into your late teens, 20s and beyond. In relationships anyway of a romantic nature, but friendships, it's funny because one of the first questions we have here is what's the longest standing friendship you currently have in your life? And friendships start from like birth. Some of them are, you know, forever. And so I think that it's one of my favorite topics too, because I think that friendships change. I think that we're all starting, there's more conversation around like, okay, what are boundaries in friendships? When do you end a friendship? Like more around that than there was in the past. I think because we're all so connected now on social media, like people that you wouldn't have kept in touch with if you like moved provinces, you would have kind of just like maybe had a phone call once in a while and then that would have faded. But now we have all these people surrounding us all the time. So we follow their lives. And I think there's probably a little more, I don't want to say pressure, but there's a little more opportunity to maintain friendships too. Sometimes I feel a little like, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but like, I loved these people. I want them in my life still. How do you maintain this when you don't necessarily live nearby? So anyway, I'm excited to dive into this today. So one of the first questions that we kind of want to talk about is what's that longest standing friendship you have in your life currently? And that's what made me think of all that verbiage I just spewed, and that it really, I mean, yes, my sister, mom, dad, sure, like familial relationships, but outside of that, like the longest ones were my neighbors. Wow. And like they were born and we were friends instant, like we, you know, we just like
how many years
30 plus year, like so I guess my longest would be like 36.
Wow, that's a long time.
And like literally since you're born, right? Yeah. Like, and so I guess there's maybe not all those elements of friendship, but if you think of like your neighborhood friends, like those are really like the first people you start playing with, like the first, right? Like
it's the first people you create so much intimacy with, right?
Yeah.
There's people that really become your second family.
Yeah, right? Totally. So, is that the longest and I mean, now I think it's interesting too, of like how we all live. Like I just noticed it even how I live now, like growing up, like we were best friends with our neighbors. That doesn't really, I don't know if other, maybe if people that have kids, it's different, but like, I don't notice that as much as an adult, like being best friends with the people across the street from me. Like I was when I was a kid.
I get that. I actually was just talking to my best friend about this, and we were talking about how, you know, when on the street that I used to live on when I was living at with my parents, there would always be so many kids, and the entire neighborhood were friends, right? Like all the kids were friends. It didn't matter about your age. It didn't matter how you looked. Like none of that mattered. And they were always outside playing, riding bikes, scooters, and like rollerblades. Like my street was very active. And then if I go back to visit, it's dead. Like, there's
Yeah.
nobody playing. There's nobody outside having fun. People would do garage sales, I remember. And they would even do like yard sales, and they just do like street parties. Like, it was fun. It was alive, right? But now I guess that emotional intimacy has definitely increased. And if you think about it, decreased, sorry. But if you think about it, like, our lives have changed so much with COVID and just so many things to be kind of more worried about the world around us anymore, that we don't entirely feel safe making those connections anymore, right? So, or we may make them all online. So our environment has definitely changed, because I know when I was a kid, I did not have access to a phone, and the only thing I had was to go outside and make friends. Like, that is what you had to do. You were forced to do
Yeah,
that.
and you're right, it's so different now, but that it's interesting that those friendships were the longest and still like still currently in my life anyway. And you know, I think why that question of like why are you still friends?
Yeah, why is this? You said 36, 37 years. How is it still happening? Why are you
I
guys
think it's
friends?
because what you said, it's because you do, and maybe it's specific to neighbors. No, I don't even know if this is specific to neighbors, because I think of the friends that we made when we were young, because even like the next step beyond those friendships of neighbors would be like your school friends, right? And I still have one of my friends who I'm going to her cottage this weekend. I literally met in nursery school. So I would have been like 4 or 5. And then the next step from that would maybe be the ones you met in like sports, which like they were all over this weekend too, like with their fa those were family friends too. So I guess why you're still friends is, I think, bigger than the individual relationship in some ways, and because they're part of these like ecosystems and communities. So when I think of like the neighbors, very much like part of the family. And I think about the, I mean, even the friends that are families made in sports, again, come to all the family functions. Like you really integrate into these. And when I think of my friend from nursery school and then my friends in junior, senior, kindergarten that will all also be there this weekend, like I think it's because we've created this group. So it's not necessarily like one friendship, because when you think of just two individuals, and you tell me, but my guess is two individuals is harder to maintain as a friendship than if there's a group that like, because if you have two, if someone's not feeling it, they can kind of pull away, right? But if you have a group, say you have five, and one person's not feeling it and they kind of take a second, one of those other four might have the bandwidth to kind of like reach out and pull back in. Versus when you're in a group of two, if one pulls away, the other is like, oh, they're pulling away again, I don't have capacity for this, then it starts to break away. So,
I could agree. I could agree with that. Definitely being someone
right.
who was, I'm personally was someone who just kind of relied on having very individual friendships. And then moving into having more of a group setting now, I could see, yeah, when there is an imbalance in, a relationship, in the friendship, I definitely noticed that the other members of the group will definitely try to aid in trying to, bring that back in, or help you resolve it, or to, reduce the conflict in some type of way. So that's great, because you've created a lot of emotional safety between each other. For me, my longest standing relationship would be roughly anywhere between 13 to 15 years. So it's definitely a long time. And it's
So
with
long,
one specific individual, and we met in middle school. And it was just like the most craziest way, the most stupidest thing ever. And then ever since, we have been, we've been friends. And we've been through, a lot, right? And it, like you said, being just an individual group, but I think groups also definitely go through it as well, because relationships and friendships are always evolving. And they're actually not much different from our intimate relationships with our significant others, right? They all require the same ingredients to keep going, right? They may look different on the outside, but on the inside, they require the same amount of love, attention, and kindness from both parties. So why have we, still remained friends? Oh my God, we still remain friends because we are able to resolve our conflict in a way that is much different than any other relationship. And I think that's more something we've worked on in the past couple years, right? And we've always treated each other like sisters, right? And like any sisters, we fight, right? And what's great is that we were able to create a process when we do get into arguments and fights and when we do not agree with each other, right? And I think that's kind of the beauty of our relationship, at least, is that we have really beautiful moments. And when we have moments that don't feel that great, we don't lash out at each other to the point that we need to end the relationship, right? I would say that it is a myth to ever think that, to never have a thought that you ever wanted to leave the relationship, right? There has to be, some type of wanting or longing to let go, but that actually ends up bringing you closer. So I think in the weirdest way, loving each other also comes from giving each other the freedom to love each other from a distance, if that's the case. So something we've talked about, at least me and my best friend, was we gave each other permission to walk away if the relationship was never serving us, right? If we were never feeling full and whole and content in the relationship, we said, as hard as it is going to be to let go, we want you to be happy. Like, I want you to be happy. That is my result for you. That is my end goal for you. That is my intention for you, right? And if I ever impede on that, I want you to know that it's okay to walk away, right? It's okay. And it is going to be hard, but I can support that decision. And what that ended up doing was allowing us to admit that, yeah, there were times we wanted to walk away, but it actually made us want to bring us closer together. And when we gave each other the emotional freedom to say, it's okay to leave if you need to, if I impede on your happiness, that brought us so much closer together, and it created so much more emotional intimacy because we were no longer feeling the pressure of needing to stay with each other if it didn't work out. And what about our families? And what about this? And what about that? And what about, X, Y, and Z in our group of friends? Like, we really set each other free. And because we set each other free, it allowed us to create so much more capacity within ourselves to love each other that our emotional vulnerability with each other is through the roof, right? Now we're able to be there for each other in a way we never did before, right? And we even express things like jealousy when it comes up in the relationship. Like, friendships have jealousy, right? It's the weirdest way there's an ingredient in there, right? And again, like I talked about in the previous podcast, like, jealousy is just a reminder of your admiration for them, right? Why you love them and why you want some of the things that they have, right? And you can use your friends to get there, right? So learning how to work as a team with your friends was something that me and my best friend had to really work on. And we're there now, right? But in the beginning, we were always saw each other as individuals, right? Never together, right? We were individuals from different families, from different spaces. And although we called each other family, there was still this little stigma, right, in between there that may cause a separation. That's because we didn't have enough emotional vulnerability in the relationship. So after breaking that barrier, we were able to say, no, like, this is my family, right? Like, I would ride or die regardless, right? If they were blood or not. And I think that's kind of what made our relationship so much stronger, was setting each other free, setting each other's like vulnerabilities free, and allowing us to express who we really are and be accepted for who we are and how we feel and the way that we think, even if the other person doesn't agree, right? So loving our differences really brought us together.
No, I love that. Sounds like
Yeah.
such a beautiful relationship that you like came
Yeah.
up with that framework. And you're right, a lot of the things that we talked about in intimate relationships kind of play into here. But I'm curious, there's some things that I do think can be a little different in friendships, and I'm curious to how you would suggest going about this. So I think we talk a little bit about the evolution of friendship and that you're not going to necessarily always be best friends with your best friend, right? So you talked about there with your friend, like giving each other the space if the relationship's not serving. How in a friendship, because I think it's in a intimate relationship, you can almost be like, I need a break. How do you like in a friendship vocalize that? Like where you don't, because I feel like it's almost like I don't want to say it's more hurtful in a friendship, but I think that sometimes it could be taken in a different way. Like, I think it's, you could say I need space in a, you could do it in both scenarios, but I feel like in a friendship, it because maybe they're just so long standing, I could see how that would be hard to not like need a friendship breakup. Maybe we'll get into friendship breakups next, but like, how
Just
could
taking
you
it.
articulate some space? Like, So you can, like, maybe you're dealing with your own things. Maybe it's not serving you the friendship in the same way. How would you kind of articulate that? Sounds like you and your friend gave each other a bit of a framework, but what's that middle ground of like needing a bit of a break?
So before the framework, we actually took a break from each other.
Did you? Okay.
So how I like to view breaks is just taking some healthy time to reflect on you and who you are becoming. Something interesting is that every 7 years, your cells regenerate and you have new cells. And if that's the case, and you're becoming a new person every 7 years, you are not the same as you were before. So your likes and dislikes won't be the same. Right. And it's healthy to acknowledge that biology as well, to notice that,
Is
okay,
that
biochemically, I'm not the same, and that I'm not the same person as 7 years ago.
why they call it the 7-year itch in like relationship? Is it? Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. Okay, interesting.
So we were kind of coming up on that cusp of noticing that we were changing, we were being different people. I know my healing, really took off while her, she was still finding herself. So we were in opposite areas of our life at that time, when whereas before we were always in the same place, right? And because we were only always in the same place, we shared a common interest, which gave us
Right.
more to relate over. But then as we
Yeah.
were changing, things started changing in the relationship. And again, I started having to entertain thoughts of is this relationship serving me, right? So when I noticed that I needed a break, was that I needed the break to discover, one, what I loved about her and whether or not I wanted to give that up, right? So that's how I like to frame a break. It's I would need to come back to you in my own way, not by being with you and hanging out with you and spending time with you, but remembering why I needed this relationship in the first place. But if I find that I didn't need it and that I couldn't do it anymore, that I would walk away because I no longer want to abandon myself and my needs, right? I don't no longer want to suffocate myself in a relationship where I can't be who I am or express who I am, especially now that I'm changing. So we took a bit of a break, and that break maybe happened roughly in about a month, right? And then we kind of reconvened and talked again, and we kind of talked about all the pain points that were happening in the relationship that caused the downward spiral, right? That caused the shift, that caused a disconnect. And from there, it created so much intimacy because we were able to go, okay, wow, like I didn't know you felt that way, and I didn't know you thought that way, right? But here's what I realized in my break is that I don't want to walk away, right? And that when we first, became friends, we made this mutual agreement that we actually wanted to be in each other's lives mutually, and we wanted to be there until the end. And it's funny because your friends become your soulmates too. So,
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think your friends also, become part of your life and part of people that you don't necessarily marry, but you marry in your heart, right? These are people that you begin to love, and you show so much love and kindness, and they really know who you are, right? So they're no different than any relationship, but express that, right? So say there is someone in your life where you're going, hey, I just need, I need a bit of a break, or I need a bit of, space, or, change. That's okay. Express that. And I'm not walking away, and I'm not making a decision on whether or not I want to leave. I just need to remember why, right? I just need to know I have to get back to my roots again. And once you're grounded again, you can make a decision from that point forward and how it best serves you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Well, and I think it's so, like, it's happened to me often where, like, I was really close with people in maybe university or college, and then I moved away. So there was, like, a cooling off period, not necessarily by intention or not, but, like, and then I moved back, and then there's a re-engagement period. Or, like, you know, people, to your point about you're going through something similar in life, so you bond more with that certain person. I think all of those things kind of come into play. If you were to say, like, what's the key ingredient, and I think I have mine in my head, but, and I can say it first if you want, but, like, what do you think is the key ingredient to a friendship?
Well, what's yours?
Mine is effort. Like, it really, like, comes down to me. And I think this is true, again, of all types of relationships, friendships, family, significant other, whatever, even you and I, right, as co-hosts. Like, if someone's not putting in the effort, then after, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times of trying, I will stop, or I'll pull away, or because that effort has to be reciprocated to some point, right? Like, so to me, it, I think the key ingredient, and I see it too, because, like, because I've had friends that are from, like, childhood, it sounds like you as well, like, if you don't keep putting in that effort, your lives do become very different, can become very different, right? Like, not everyone's on the same path and will have, you know, those same shared experiences. So if you don't put in that effort, if you're not having those shared experiences, and you're not putting in that effort to maintain or just be involved in someone's life, then I think that it just kind of fades away. It can fade away anyway. So that would be my, like, key ingredient in a good friendship or a long lasting friendship.
Yeah. And I think you're right, right? We can get really tired and daunting and waste a lot of our time and our energy and who we are as people, giving it away to, you know, a cup that has a hole in it, right? Where it's just being, like, flooded out. So I love that you're noticing when what people fill you up and what people don't, right? So that's really important. I think I have two things maybe that I think would be a great ingredient for a relationship. And the first one is kind of going off of what you were talking about, but mutual affection and learning about each other's love languages, right? So as much as learning about your love languages stems from your significant others, it happens in your relationships too. So your friendships, and something that my partner, me and my best friend talked about was how we like to love each other. And we noticed we were having a lot of conflict because she wasn't loving me the way I wanted to be loved. I wasn't loving her the way she wanted to be loved, and not recognizing that each person has an individual way of showing love. Right. Mm-hmm. And are we willing to accept that that's how that person makes effort? Right. So their mutual affection. And what I noticed was that I am more of someone that likes to give words of affirmation. I'm someone that likes to encourage. I'm a very talkative lover. And then for her, she's more of a gift giver. So she loves giving gifts to show her appreciation. She loves making time for you, kind of thing. So her way of loving is a little different when maybe I don't have all the time in the world to give. But getting that text from me saying, hey, you're doing a good job, how are you, right? Or, hey, I heard you got that promotion, like, amazing, and cheering her on. That's actually what, deep down, is what she really needed too, right? So we've begun to accept each other's love languages, even though we're at a distance, right? So for her, again, it's gift giving. For me, it's words of affirmation. So, and that could be different for everyone. And for us, we were willing to accept that this is the way this person loves to give love. And because I fully honor and respect that person, and I love this person, that I'm willing to allow them to show me that love in whichever way they want to give it, and I'm content receiving it, right? It does fill me up. I do feel good about it. But if you don't feel good about it, you're allowed to walk away from the relationship, right? And you can find what does fill you up. But we've had that compassion and mutual respect with each other, where we've learned that through a lot of mistakes, obviously, and then come to this point where we have that mutual understanding. Another one I would say is emotional respect. And I think that's a big one, because every relationship is highly emotional, whether it's, you know, whether you're just starting out or whether it's years into the future or years in, every emotion, every relationship stems from this emotional intimacy. So creating really deep, intimate bonds and having respect for each other when we were feeling something negative towards the other person, for example, or feeling something positive towards the other person, for example, and being able to express that. And then being able to allow the other person to express that. So, you know, maybe when someone is crying, not saying, oh my God, you're okay, it's going to be fine, stop crying, right? That's how we tell them to invalidate their feelings and no, that's not okay, right? Because we actually don't know if it's going to be okay, right? We can't promise that. So what I don't like to do is I don't like to tell someone to stop crying. I don't like to offer tissues, and I don't like to say it's going to be okay, because I don't know that. What if it's not going to be? I can't make any promises, right? But what I can do is be your anchor and your safety in this moment. And for us, that created so much more vulnerability between the two of us. And it created so much energy in which we want to keep exchanging between each other over and over, because we want to create more emotional intimacy where there are boundaries, but at the same time there's enough love and respect. So I think those two are kind of the big ticket for me.
And what do you know, that's interesting. I think you sound like you have very evolved friendships.
Now I do, for sure.
What, like, so we talked about, you know, relationship red flags that I think would probably fall a lot into friendships, like we said, but what are some friendship, like, green flags you would say are out there? Maybe these are like green flags when you're looking to make a new friend, because it is you know, harder to maybe make some friends when you're older. So what are some things in present day you would look for in a friend?
Okay, so I can list off a few that, you know, come off the top of my head. You share common interests, so that's a big one, being able to share common interests. But if you don't have common interests, are you okay with loving and respecting and accepting the person as they are, right? And that's a big one. You're able to share your thoughts and feelings in order to create intimacy, so you're open to being vulnerable with this person. You listen to each other. I know in the last one we talked about relationship red flags, and not listening was a big one, but being able to listen is a green flag, and active listening. Having conflict with each other is a green flag, because you need conflict in order to grow and evolve through pain. So being able to have healthy conflict with them, being able to have a process in which you resolve it, and knowing kind of your fight languages, I think is really, really important. Trust and honesty, I think, make a really deep, meaningful, quality, healthy friendship. Emotional respect, like I talked about earlier, encouragement and celebration. That is a big one.
I love that celebration, because I don't feel like we celebrate our friendships in the same way we celebrate our in romantic relationships, right? Like, you have those milestones in romantic relationships, like this year anniversary, this is your wedding, this is those kind of pieces. But in friendship, I never celebrated a friendship anniversary, actually.
Something me and my best friend has started doing, want to start doing this year, after we had our break and we talked about it. We're like, we should celebrate how far we've come, you know what I mean? So celebrating your friendships are really good, and celebrating milestones within yourself that you share with your friends. So promotions, birthdays, raises, just anything at all, you know, moving out, getting a new job, whatever it is, celebrating them can really help not only aid in the support, but help keep them motivated to not only the friendship, but to whatever they're doing. So that's really, really important. Mutual affection, so knowing each other's love languages is really good. Shared decision-making. How many times have we all, you know, just ran around in circles just trying to decide where you want to eat?
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm always the planner, and I had this debate with my friend that I mentioned the other day that we've been friends with since we were like born. She's like, you're just so good at it. She's like trying to pile on the compliments of how good I am at planning. And I'm like, it's because you just don't want to do it though.
So you've taken ownership of it. Yeah. I hear that. But that's a really good one. And then just added support, right? So just being there to support them even when you don't agree, right? So we don't always have to agree with the decisions of our friends, right? And I think that's what we think we have to do. But what we can do is still notice it and accept them for their decision, right? So instead of walking away, maybe taking some time to understand the decision from their point of view and understanding it from your point of view as well, right? Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of times where my best friend and I have got into areas of our friendship where there were decisions we've made individually that for ourselves that didn't, you know, align with the other person. And there were times where we've had to express that we don't agree. And because we didn't agree, yeah, it created some friction, but I was able to, like, we were both able to come to a point where we're allowed to love each other even if we don't agree with each other. So mm-hmm. not clouding those two things and noticing that we still love each other even if we don't agree. And even if I don't agree, that shouldn't stop you from pursuing the thing that you want to do, right? Because you need to validate that for yourself. You need to be able to make those decisions for yourself because we've set each other free, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, so those are some kind of like good green flags. When does it reach a point? It sounds like you and your friend didn't get to this point because you came back to each other. But when is it like, okay, this is time to let go of this friendship? Like, is there certain like top three things you might consider when you're evaluating if it's time to let something go?
Mm-hmm. They put you down every chance they get. That's a big one. If you're constantly around someone who just has something negative to say about you all the time, they don't lift you up, they don't make you feel loved, they don't make you feel safe, that's a really big kind of red flag. And that's an indicator that you either need to have a conversation and work this out, or that you need to walk away from the relationship, because if they're not willing to put that effort in to make those changes, then again, you'll be pouring into a cup with, you know, always pouring into their cup and never pouring into your own. Another one I would say is jealousy, right? So jealousy can really turn into deep hatred, and that deep hatred could really turn into things like revenge. So we want to be careful of when those moments are coming up. So this could be anything from always wanting to one up you, always needing to be one step ahead of you, maybe, you know, disrespecting you in any way when it does come to things that you have that they are maybe jealous of. And even if they're not saying the mean comments that are swirling around in their head, it's going to come off in their energy, right? So it's going to come off in their aura. It may be passive aggressive communication. So you'll know when this is happening, and we don't want it to get to hatred, but it does definitely stem from a lot of anger and resentment for themselves, which is being projected onto you. And if that can't be resolved within themselves, then this is not a relationship that encourages celebration and encouragement and happiness. And that's where you want to make that distinction.
Quite interesting. No, I love that. It's interesting. They probably are some of the longest lasting relationships in your lives, because there is breakups, there is divorce, and you don't see that at, like, it almost like those friendships can stick around longer than some of your more intimate relationships. So
for sure.
Very kind of like important piece of who we are.
Yeah. And I think this, I guess, something I've learned through my life of going through many friendships and, you know, maybe cutting off a lot of people and integrating more people into my life and just dropping friends and having friends, just, you know, that natural flow of friendship. Something I've noticed is that even if the relationship ends badly, it's taught you about a large part of yourself. Mm-hmm. And something, it teaches you a lot about your boundaries and what you'll tolerate and what you won't tolerate. But I think our teachers, just like our emotions are our teachers, our friends are our teachers too. So they come to with all this, you know, pain, or they come with happiness, or they come with excitement, or they come with jealousy, and they come with all these parts of themselves so that you could also learn about a part of you, whether that came from, you know, your suffering, whether that came from your happiness, whether that came at the expense of whatever it is that it came at. it's healthy to recognize that the people in our lives come to teach us something. They come with a lesson. And if we refuse to notice that lesson, we'll just keep repeating the same mistakes with friends in the future, right? So being mindful of when you need to end the relationship or when you need to keep one is really important, to make that distinction within yourself and know that everything comes with a reason. Everything comes with a divine purpose. And if you are moving in kind of your divine health, then it will always move forward for you.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us again today. Can you share a little bit about where everyone can find more information on you?
Yes. So you can find me on my website at sarahjosephcertifiedcoaching.com. You can find me on Instagram, on TikTok, and Twitter. And you can also check out my article, which She Made Digital, on my 5-step process.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being here today, Sarah. Looking forward to next week.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning into this conversation. If you were intrigued by anything in our conversation, we encourage you to talk about it. Tell a friend, post on social media, take action in your very own way. Subscribe to get the newest episode at your fingertips as soon as it drops. Until next time, check out Style Canada, a disruptor in the media for its community of inquisitive style seekers. You can find us at style.ca or on social media. Just like this podcast, Style Canada is not just about style. It's about living a lifestyle that leaves people open to evolution and opportunity. This episode was hosted by Elise Gasparino. The music credit goes to Raspberry Music and was brought to you by Style Canada.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.